want to read starting at verse Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but to the righteousness of faith. Verse 16, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, to not only that which is of the law, but as, which is also of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Praise God in heaven. All right, let me just cut right into this now. God has better things for us in these last days that were in the days ahead. The Bible talks about better things for us over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 40. Also, he talks about in Ecclesiastes, I want to just read that scripture to you, chapter 7, he says that verse 8, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. So it's kind of interesting how that this, in the last days, is going to be better than the former days, than the previous days. So basically, you were born in a better time. You were born at the right time. This that God is pouring out today, he's reserved for you and me. And we're going to get better revelations. We're going to get better manifestations. I mean, we're going to be in services where everybody in the service is being healed. I mean, just some of them didn't have 1 ounce of faith, but just because they came in there, we're going to see heaven invading the earth. And people really going to see some things that they've never seen before. And there's going to be a display of the power of God like never before. Now, so we're going to see things out of this Bible. And I believe one of the things that people don't do is they don't read the Bible in the realm of faith. That you've got to read this Bible. I mean, without faith, it's hard to hear God. Because this Bible speaks to you. Say, speaks to me. So as it speaks to you, you got to be able to hear that. And if your eyes and ears are not tuned to it, remember when Jesus said, to him that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. That tells me that he's talking, but some folk didn't want to hear it, and so forth. So what we said is that God has reserved some things for these last days. Now, why aren't these things manifested at this point? Because I think they should be manifested now. I believe that there should be more going on in the church than going on right now. And I believe there's a couple of reasons why they're not. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew chapter 15. Don't have the scriptures, look on the board. We've got the scriptures on the board. Praise God. And look at Matthew chapter 15. And look at here, it said verse 6. I'll read part of that. Honor not his father and his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Underline the word tradition. It's amazing how people hold on to tradition. When I say that, I mean that tradition, things that go on traditionally. I mean, when I first, a lot of the old-time Pentecostals, they believe in something called tarrying. And if you know anything about it, if you came through that, I came through that. But you tarry. And tarry means you get down on your knees and, you know, somebody praying with you, and you tarry for the Holy Ghost until you get the Holy Ghost. Amen. You follow what I'm saying? And that's one way, and that's fine. I'm not coming down on that and so forth. But also, you can get the Holy Ghost standing up. Are you with me now? I mean, you can just stand up. When I got the Holy Ghost, I'm coming. And the man called for three people. One, if you want to get saved, get in that line. Want to get healed, get in that line. Want to get the Holy Ghost, come in that line. I didn't know which line I was supposed to be in, so I just got in the middle line. I got there, received Christ, and then I was standing there, and there was a guy. He was an American Indian, and he said to me, You want the Holy Ghost, don't you? Now, I didn't know exactly what that was, but I said, you know, I'm happy. Yeah, I want it. So he put one hand on my head, one on my back of my neck, and he said, now just start saying, thank you, Jesus. Start saying, praise the Lord. Start just open your mouth and God will fill it. And I opened my mouth and said, thank you, Jesus. And I began to speak in tongues. Man, I'm telling you, now understand, I didn't get down on my knees. I didn't tarry for 5 hours and so forth. I stood right up, right there, got the Holy Ghost just like that. Come on now, you watch what I'm saying. Now, I'm not trying to minimize other folk. That's the way they do it. That's fine. I'm telling you, there is a way. You had to tarry in Acts chapter 2, because Jesus said, tarry until the Holy Ghost came. Well, the Holy Ghost had not yet come. But now the Holy Ghost is in this earth here, moving. Are you following what I'm saying? So sometimes, because of tradition, we've negated the Word of God. It's just like technology. All of a sudden, we're moving up, and now you can get an iPhone, you get everything on it, and it'll talk to you and dictate to it and see movies on it and see, you know what I mean? Every television, everything on the same thing. Well, I remember when I was a kid, they had funny books. And they had a guy, you know what a funny book is? It doesn't mean funny, it means comic book, that's what we call it. And they had a guy named Dick Tracy. And Dick Tracy had a watch, you know, had a little thing on it. And it wasn't nothing but an iPhone. It was just right there and so forth and so on. Are you following what I'm saying? See, but I'm just saying that here technology has moved up. It looked like the church hadn't moved nowhere. See, there's another dimension of revelation that you and I can get a hold of. Yeah. Say amen to that. And the higher your revelation, the greater your manifestations. All right, so I'm just telling you now that tradition sometimes has blocked the door to us experiencing this last day move of God with the higher revelations, higher manifestations, better everything that God has for us. And also, what has blocked the way is carnality. That a lot of the church has really been organized intellectuals. And what it said basically is that they've intellectualized just about everything that came out of the Bible. And what you have to do is go back to the beginning, because what Jesus came to do is restore the years that the cankerworm had taken away. Now, when we're talking about restore the years, we're not talking about just restore your life. We're talking about take you all the way back to Adam, all the way back to the time where Adam walked the earth. Now, Jesus was, the Bible called by revelation of Paul, the last Adam. So he's showing you exactly the kind of makeup and kind of dominion Adam walked in when he walked in this earth. And one of the things that Adam did, instead of learned, Adam discerned. I said, instead of learned, Adam discerned. He just downloaded everything. Why? Because he and the Father were not two, they were what? They were one. So basically, everything that the Father knew was revealed to him. All he had to do is call for it. And so now we're saying that all the things that God has for us have already been prepared and put away for us. And he's saying that we have inherited the world. Now let's go over there. Let's go over to Ephesians, please. And Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And look what it says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all, what kind of blessing? Spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places where? In Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the what? Foundation of the world. So when were you chosen? When do you think the blessings were put there? Because there is no future in God. He said over in 2 Peter, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day to God. Over in Isaiah 46 and verses 9 and 10, he said that that God already declares the end from the beginning. So God has already seen the end, declared everything, and laid it down. So now, all this inheritance that you and I are going to have or going to receive has already been put away for you. Say amen to that. Amen. All right. Now, with that in mind, we said that these things come from the kingdom are always first spiritual, and that it takes a spiritual person to receive a spiritual inheritance. In other words, it's very difficult to receive for a carnal person to receive a spiritual inheritance. A natural person cannot receive it. They think it's foolishness. But it's very difficult for a carnal person to receive a spiritual inheritance. What is a carnal person? A carnal person is a person who's born again, but still led by the dictates of his or her senses. So we got to get off of that. And now let's go all the way over to Genesis, if you will, in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. Let me know when you get to Genesis chapter 13. Praise God. All right, in Genesis chapter 13, glory to God. He says here in verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now, what is he telling him here in this verse? He is saying to him that whatever, Lord have mercy, until you can see it, you are not entitled to get it. Got it? Until you can see it, you are not entitled to get it. Now, this is the same thing that I told you, that God never blesses you beyond your mental capacity, because you don't see with your eyes, you see with your mind. And that God has it so that, I'm talking about this part in us, the spiritual part, God has it so that we can see things that other folk can't see. And God wants you to develop your spiritual sight. In fact, God is looking for seers today. And one of our speakers that's coming here for the M&M conference is a speaker that is going to be talking and teaching on seeing the invisible. And he's, I won't go into that. But anyway, God desires to show his people things to come, especially in your life. You see, when you think about God, there is no time. So because there is no time, there is no future. And when we relate to this earth, we relate to it as the future. What's going to happen tomorrow? But you have to understand, with God, there is no tomorrow. He only exists now. So tomorrow is already open to him. Can you wrap your mind around this here? Now, we've been made in his image, and it's like we've been made to function just like him, and Jesus did. Jesus told you something. He said, now, here's the deal. I'm going to have to be crucified, and I'm going to die, and I'm going to be dead 3 days. But after that, I'm going to rise again. Now, he saw all of that. Back in the book of Psalms, it tells you in the book of Psalms, one of the prophets cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's in the Bible. That's long before Jesus got here. So there is no future in God. And time bondage mentality came with Adam's sin. And all of a sudden, after he sinned, boundary became matter. That if it's three-dimensional, if it's detected by your eyes, ears, nose, so forth and so on, then it's real. And if it's not, it's not real. Well, you know that ain't true. I mean, you can get a cell phone and pick up waves. Whatever coming in your cell phone, and you know they're coming, they're going somewhere. You can't see your brain, but you know you got something in there. But we have consciously thought of things that we can see, feel, touch, taste, and smell as real. And the other is not real. When the truth is, it's more real than what you can see, touch, taste, smell. Got it? So Jesus functioned in and out of time, because time was an element that was placed in this three-dimensional world. Once you get to the fourth dimension in the heavenlies, there is no time. Amen. Got it? So anytime you're talking or looking through time, you're looking through the veil of the curse. And you weren't meant to be there. That wasn't meant to be your limit. I'm going to say something here today, and I just want you to stay with me. Because you were meant to know the future. Very important, folks. Think about it. Think of all the advantages you could have if you knew what was going to happen in the business. That's what he's talking about. While we look, put it up there on the board and turn to it. Turn to, where am I? Where have you right now? Genesis, okay. All right, you got that. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Satan's system needs the element of time to make it function like it should. Satan's system needs the element of time to make it function like it should. How did he get Abraham to override time? He made him call things. Come on, that be not as though they were. So he couldn't say, I'm going to be a father of a multitude. Then he would be in time. And as long as you're in time, you're under this subject of this three-dimensional world, and you're bound there. But once you start speaking out of time into the eternal realm where it's already done, you have to talk like you're already there. I am a father of a multitude because God has already made you that way. It's not you're going to be rich. You're already rich. It's not you're going to be healed. You're already healed. Let the poor say, I am rich. He said to Moses, Moses said, well, who should I say sent me down to Pharaoh? He said, just tell him I am. That's what he's talking about. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I want you to get this because you got to get your mind around this. As long as Satan can keep you in time, he can keep you in prison. You got to get out of jail. You got to get out of that curse-based thinking and get dominion over him. I'm not saying you can't get healed, but a lot of folks have run out of time trying to get healed. Sure, the doctor gave them, you're going to have to wait this many months to get healed and so forth. And they're fighting this thing and fighting it for that many months. Why? Because they agreed with the doctor. And where two on earth agree, it's going to be done. It becomes a law. No, you can't do that. Say amen to that. No man has the right to dictate to you how long you're going to live except the one who made you. No man. No man. Am I right about it? And the Bible says we are bought with a price. Say, I'm bought with a price. That's what it says. God is the one who paid for you. God is the one who bought you. And when you come up on a situation, when you go and a doctor tell you something, said, hey, listen now, this is a certain thing. I'm sorry. You've got this disease here. I'm telling you now, it's something that you're going to have to live with, this infirmity, this thing, this kidney. It just shut down, and there's no restoration for it. There's nothing. And then you tell a doctor, doctor, you know, I appreciate what you're saying. I thank you very much. I thank you. And thank you for what you've done for me. But I'm going back to the owner. I'm going, say amen to that. I'm going back to the manufacturer. I said, I'm going back to the storehouse because I don't want to get a healing no more. I want a replacement. I want to get a part put in here. Are you following what I'm saying? And the provisions are all there. He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. He got spare parts galore. I'm telling you, he got eyeballs, knee joints, hip joints, kidneys. He got gallbladders. He's got teeth. He's got, say amen to that. And what you're going to see in these last days is you're going to see heaven invading the earth. You're going to see people getting healed. Whatever's broke is going to be fixed. I'm telling you, the Bible says in Isaiah 61, God is about to beautify the church. I'm saying nothing missing, nothing broken. He's going to have you to be a showcase for the world, and they're going to be lining up to get in your church services. Let me get in there. I need some teeth. Let me get in there. I need a new toe. Let me get in there. Say amen to that. That's what I'm talking about. Give the Lord a praise, because when the doctor give you that kind of report, tell him you appreciate it, but I got to go back to the manufacturer. I need a new part here. Well, you can get it. You can get it by faith. Say amen to that. Boy, I happen to go off there. I praise God. All right. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. For while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, subject to change. Things that are not seen are eternal. It's in another realm. It's in another realm. Now, what am I saying to you? Revelation is what mankind has been missing. And that's what Paul prayed. Go over to the next book. The next book is Galatians, then after Galatians, Ephesians. And let's see Ephesians again in Ephesians chapter 1. Glory to God. He said, as far as you can see, I'm going to give it to you. Let me say it in my own words. Until you can see it, you're not entitled to receive it. But you got to see it first. And look what he says here in verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Put it up there, verse 18. Put it up there in the Amplified Translation, please. Amplified Translation. Okay, that's all right. All right, let's go over to, if you will, come on down to, all right. He said, by having the eyes of your heart, what? Flooded with what? Light, so that you can what? Know and what? Understand, keep going, the hope to which he has called you. And how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. Rich. I said rich. God has made you richer than rich beyond your wildest imagination. Glory to God. This is good stuff. But if you can't see it, you can't get it. I said, until you can see it, you are not entitled to get it. Now, that's God. That's what he says here. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and I'll start at verse 9. But as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that what? Love him. That's one of the reasons why people can't see it. Because you can't love the world and see this. I said, you cannot love the world and see this. But God has what? Revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of a man that's in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might what? We might what? Know the things that are what? Freely given to us of who? Of who? How were they given to us? They are free. That kidney is free. Come on, that new head of hair is free. That whatever you need, it's free. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the who teaches. Who's going to teach you this? Comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what to him? Foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. Neither can he know them. Neither can he know them. Because they are spiritually discerned. Turn to Matthew chapter 13, please. I said you can see the invisible. And the only reason you think you can't see it is because nobody taught you you can see it. Your mind has never been renewed to the fact that you can see past this natural three-dimensional world. And folks, we're about to get in on something now that's going to absolutely just run the devil clean out of town. Say amen to this. You see, once you overcome the ignorance of time, then you're going to find this is going to come in and it's going to slide into you real quick. See, because if you can imagine my hand drawing a horizontal line right here, underneath that is temporal. Over the top of that is eternal. And eternal, there is no time as we know it. So everything's already done. So all you got to do to see what's going on in the future is stick your head up above the line and look at the, come on now, and you can see some things. I'm talking about for your life. Say amen to that. And it's time to get up there. But you can't deal with time on the level of time. See, you got to deal with time on the level of the eternal. They said time is money. How many of you heard time is money before? Well, that ain't true. You see, time is temporal. Time is a part of matter. So if I can get up above matter, I can see. And the way I stop time and get out of time is get into faith. Faith is a higher law than time. Faith, you never say, I'm going to be healed and be in faith. You'll never get healed that way. You got to say, by his stripes, I am healed. Say amen to that. Because faith is always when? Faith has no time. Faith is operating in the atmosphere of heaven. That's why the devil doesn't want you there. Once you get into faith, you can defeat him. If you stay down in the senses, he can defeat you. But you got to get up into faith. That's why the church is the world's only hope. Without the church, that the world can't get up in the eternal. They can't get any access there. No natural man can get into the eternal. Now, God may give some special dispensation to somebody to create something, but normally that is not the case. That God, Lord have mercy. Adam's age was not given as long as he was in the garden. The time you find out how old everybody was is when he sinned. Then the curse hit. Now it's telling you he was 130 years old. He was 640 years old. Why? Because everybody's headed toward death. It's trying to tell you how long they got before they leave here. Now you follow what I'm saying? And so, but faith brings you into another thinking. It calls things that be not, because it knows the things are already there. It's calling them out of the spiritual realm. And the first way you receive it is you have to receive it by the Spirit. And then God delivers it to you in the natural. But unless you receive it in the Spirit, He won't deliver it to you in the natural. Though you need some money, it's already there. You need a roof on your house, it's already there. You need some tires for your car, it's already there. Now it's already there. How do you know it's already there? Because of the book. The book says He's giving you everything, it's already there. Lord have mercy. I don't mean to fuss at you, I'm just trying to get past this here. Because I can feel your mind trying to bump up against time. Listen, if you just let your mind go, just let your mind go for a minute. No, don't do that. Good. Where do I have you right now? Matthew chapter what? 13. Put something right there and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Well, this is very important, because the only thing that separates you from your dreams is time. But suppose time went away. The only thing that separates you from a billionaire is time. If you work long enough in this earth, you will work. I'm not talking about 100 years. You're going to have to live here long enough with the salary you're making. But some of y'all. But my point to you is we're waiting on something all the time. We're waiting on payday. We're waiting on our pension. We're waiting on this. All of that is because a person has been imprisoned by time. But once you get out of time and get into faith, you don't wait. You move it from where it is to where you are. Say amen to that. The future is not out. For the believer, your future is up. It's already in the heavens. Man, when I'm praying up here, somebody said, Pastor, agree with me for a job. I am not looking out in the future that one day you're going to find a job. What I'm doing is taking my faith, pulling your job out of heaven into the now. That's all I'm doing. The only reason you're standing in time is because you're waiting on the manifestation. Are you following what I'm saying? God knew you were going to need a job when you were born. I better say it again. God knew that you go. Are y'all following me? He knew you were going to need it. He already got the job. Say amen to this. What does revelation do? Revelation gives you a glimpse of your future. Now, remember, your future is not out. It's up. So revelation looks through the temporal into the eternal and sees your job. But revelation alone won't get it. Faith has to take it. And faith is merely acting on the word of God. Praise God, man, y'all can't get that. He knew that you were going to need to sell that house when you were born. I'm not talking about when you were born in this earth, but you before the foundation of the world, He knew you were going to do it. And He got a buyer already. He got everything all done. Say amen to that. Now, some of y'all, this don't bother you. You just ready to just go and just just want to get out of here and go to work. Now, that's all right, but listen. If it just act excited, act just like, praise God, this is wonderful. See, because this is the only way we're going to reign in this earth. You're not going to reign in the intellect. Those people at Harvard and Yale and Princeton got just as much sense as you. How you going to reign over them? How you going to reign in this earth? How you going to undo their problems? You can't. Not with the intellect. You're going to have to receive revelation. Say amen to that. He didn't call you to compete with them. He told you to dominate the earth. You ain't competing with nobody. The Daniel and the three Hebrews were 10 times better than the smartest people in the earth. 10 times. The king Pharaoh or Nebuchadnezzar had put together the smart folk. The king had the smartest folk in the land. He had the sorcerers. He had the magicians, the Chaldeans. Them folk knew something. You know they knew something. Anybody that can take a stick and throw it down and turn into a snake, boy, you know that man knows something. Say amen to that. But they knew 10 times more than they knew. I'm saying you are not, you're here, he's going to anoint you. You're going to get some super on your natural. And he's going to take you up to a level, but you got to receive it by faith. All right, you ready? Look what it says in that. Now, what did I say? No, I didn't ask you that. You can see. You can see the invisible. Now just hold on to that. I can see the invisible. Because the invisible, usually you're talking about the future. You're talking about something that's going to happen, whatever, whatever. But the future for you is not out. Do you know what I mean by out? The future is not horizontal. The future is vertical. And you can see it. Folks, I'm gonna put this in your brain. If I gotta just stuff it through your ears, you're gonna get this right here. It's going all the way down, because we're gonna renew your mind. Because see, as long as you see time, you will never give your last and you will never give your best. As long as you see, try it. You can't see time and do that. The only way you can do that is sow in faith. And faith has no time. Time just went away. You already see it done. All right, listen. Just hold. So what did I have you now? Matthew 13, and don't rush me. Don't rush me, okay? All right? I'm going to tell you something, because this is a powerful thing we got going here. Go with me. Put something right there. Right there. And then go with me to two places. Genesis 22 and Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis 22 and Hebrews chapter 11. See, first thing you do is come up with a time-sensitive need. Well, I need my rent money by Tuesday. Well, I need that. See, that's a time-sensitive need. You're in time still. See, and time has been yanking you to the point where it's got you upset. You can't hardly sleep at night. Come on now. That's what time will do to you. Time is a cruel taskmaster. Say amen to that. Amen. And if you jump up in faith, how does faith come?
By hearing.
And hearing what? I take that word of God and I pump it in my system concerning the promise for me of that situation that's coming up. I just pump it right up in there. Now, without me really understanding it, all of a sudden, some of the anxiety is going away. Why? Because faith is coming. Faith is coming. Time just went away. Say it again now. And this is happening beyond your intellect. Your intellect can't keep up with this. It'll finally get up to it once you have enough experiences in it. But until then, it's happening in your spirit. And you just pump that thing in. And my God shall supply all my need. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Say amen to that. All my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You might not have a $5. Say, I'm going to sow that $5. That $5 is going to pay that rent for me. And thank you, Lord, so far. Are you following what I'm saying? And let that thing go. Now, I'm telling you how to do this. It no longer we're going to be tossed to and fro by the enemy. See, that enemy needs time. Remember, for him to do his work, he's got to keep you in time. If you ever get out of time, you are out from under his control. Got it? All right, let's look at this now. Now, just give me a few more minutes, okay? I'm almost there. Praise God. But see, there, all them body parts are in heaven. When the doctors give up and say, hey, we ain't got it. This is it. Sorry, your kidney going to have to say, okay, doctor, appreciate it. I'm going back to the owner. And just go on back to Jesus. Come on back here to the manufacturer and say, manufacturer, look here. I need a kidney now. Praise God. Now, I know you got plenty up there. Just meditate that word until you almost see that kidney. Oh, yeah. That is right there. That's a medium-sized one right there. That's got my name on it. Praise God. Amen. While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For everything you can see is subject to change. All right, look what it says here. This is a good bunch here. Praise God. All right, let me show you this real quick. I may not be able to get back to this other. What did I tell you? Genesis 26, all right. Look what, 22. Pardon me, I made it say 26. Now listen, I just got up here and I'm just hearing the Holy Ghost. I just got to give you this real quick. You with me? Yeah. Verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or prove Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom you lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell you of. Now, let me ask you one word. Why did he say, take your only son, watch this, Isaac, whom you love? Why did God say all of that? That's a precious seed. He's telling you that for you to sow your last or your best, you're going to have to get over time. You got to see it, man. Now, listen, if you don't catch all this first time, get the tape, man. Get the CD, man. Do break down and buy the thing. All right? Look what it says here. All right? Then verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled a donkey and cried all night and had a headache that morning and so forth. It didn't say all of that. It didn't say all of that. It was no anxiety in him at all. Watch this next verse, 5 and verse 4. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, discernment now. And Abram said to his young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go up to yonder and worship. And we're coming back again. Now, didn't God just tell him to go offer him up? What did Abraham say he was going to do? Go up there and come back again. But notice, here's a revelation for you. You want this? Look over here where he said, take your son and offer him up. Say offering. Then look down here. Abraham said, I and the lad will go up and we're going to worship. So what do you do with your offering? The offering is a form of worship. And look, let's go on over here and look. Abram got up there. Look at verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, what? Here I am, here am I. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him, for now I know thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his what? Eyes, and looked, and behold, behind him a what? Ram. Where was he? Caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. Wow. Now, let me ask you something. The ram was there. Question. When did the ram get there? Ain't no time with God now. How was it that the ram was there and the ram didn't appear until Abraham got up there and did what he was supposed to do? Come on. Come on now. Faith. Faith transfers it out of the invisible into the invisible world. And faith is acting on the Word of God. Now, let's go over to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. Let me know when you get there. Hello. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up who? Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his who? Only begotten son, of whom it was said that in who? Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was what? Able to do what to him? Raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him. How? In a figure. So he had already seen this resurrection, glory to God, and God doing something here, a miracle, because he could see it before he got there. John chapter 8, come on, one more time. I know I took you to this before, but you're going to get this. I said, you're going to get this. No, you got this in the name of Jesus. Come on, I got one more place and then we're done. Look at John chapter 8, verse 56. This is Jesus now. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Woo-hoo-hoo. And he saw it, come on, and was glad. Now this just messed up the minds of these religious people. Then said the Jews unto him, now you are not yet 50 years old. What are you talking about? You've seen Abraham. Jesus said, I don't think you understand. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. All right, come on, let's go over to Matthew's gospel, please. And Matthew chapter, Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10, and we'll be done. Mark chapter 10. I got one more scripture after this, but it's working right along with this. Praise God. We're going to work the word here. I say we're going to work the word in this thing. Isn't this wonderful? Now remember, God's word is light. How do I know that? Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy word giveth light. So anytime you're talking about darkness, you're talking about a person moving in their own intellect. Anytime you're talking about revelation, you're talking about a person moving in the light of God's word. Say amen to that. The whole world lieth in darkness. It's operating on the intellect, and that ain't not good enough to defeat the devil. You got to have revelation. You got to get advanced knowledge and get ahead of him. All right, look what it says here in Mark chapter 10, and I won't read the other one except verse 17. And when he was gone forth in the way, the one came running to him and kneeled him, asking him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, so forth and so on. And the man answered him, said, all these have I observed from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He said to him, one thing you lack, verse 21, go your way and sell what you have, give to the poor, you'll have treasure in heaven. Come on, take up the cross and follow me. The man was sad at that saying, went away grieved, for he had great possession. So this man was rich and he was clinging to the world. And remember what we said, that the more a person trusts or believes, what do we say, in the world, the less light they receive from the kingdom, all right? So you can't lean on that world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For any man that loved the world, the Father is not in him, and God is not going to reveal light to somebody who doesn't love him. So what he's got to do, he's got to bring you back to your commitment in God, your commitment to get the kingdom advanced and so forth, and that light starts coming through. Say amen to that. And anytime light comes through, your struggle is over. And look what it says here in Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, he sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Understand, the man was blind now. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, wait a minute. Why is this man crying so loud here? They would tell him, shh, you in church, brother. But listen, this didn't stop him. Because even though he was physically blind, he could see something. I said he could see something. And it belonged to him. And verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded them to be called. And they called a blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, be of good comfort. Arise, he's calling for you. Be of good comfort. This is a term that Jesus has used himself many times. Be of good comfort. Now, what does that mean, basically? Basically, God gives us hope. And anytime you go to the Word of God, one of the first things you get is hope. Now, understand, Revelation brings hope. And without having the Word of Revelation, you cannot really have restoration. What is revealed to you is what is also restored to you. Revelation defines the limit of your restoration. Say amen to that. And you see, God wants to restore things to you today. And whatever man cannot repair, God is ready to restore. So now, here is something called hope. Because faith is the substance of things, come on, hope for. So there is hope when you're down to nothing. And if you're with me, just turn over, hold something right there, to Job chapter 14, please. Job is before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 14. Over in Job chapter 14, this is a marvelous truth. Verse 7. For there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of waters it will bud and bring forth what? Boughs like a plant, or boughs like a plant. Now, I want to read that out of the Living Bible. For there is hope for a tree. Anytime you mention tree like this in the Bible, you're talking about a human life. A tree, you can put it in your Bible, human life. If it is cut down, it sprouts again and grows tender, new branches. Though its roots have grown old in the earth and its stump decays, it may sprout and bud again at the touch of water like a new seeding. Now, what is this saying to you? Let's walk through it. It's saying this, that whatever is in your life, that the enemy has tried to make cease, though the root thereof wax old in the earth and the stock thereof dead, even though your roots are dead in the ground, yet through the scent of water. In other words, water represents the Word of God. So when you come in here, you might not seem that cheerful. Things might be going wrong in your life. You may have now dwindled down to the hopeless state. So hopelessness is in your life. And Satan uses hopelessness to hold people down. But once they come in and get a little drop of water. Water represents the Word of God. And once you get the Word, something happens. For they said you were 60 years old and there's no jobs out there anyway, let alone for somebody with 60 years old. All you need is a drop of water. Somebody say you can't get married. Now you 45 years old. How you gonna find a man? Young women can't find a man. All you need is a drop of water. Somebody said you can't have no kids. You've been trying for 15 years. All you need to say, well, wait a minute. What about Hannah? You know, they told Hannah she couldn't have none. She got hopeless for a minute, but she got a drop of water. Sarah, she was 89 years old, but when God spoke and put a drop of water in her soul, something came alive. I'm telling you, people might have told you that it's no use, you can give it up, there ain't nothing gonna happen, that marriage is dead, that that child is on drugs, so forth. Come in here and let Bill Winston put a little drop on your soul, and you will come alive like a brand new tree. Hope is the anchor of the soul. Oh, your husband, your business, your money, your health, time, marriage, relationships, hope. Don't lose your hope. God's got some hope for the hopeless. Say amen to that. Hope is the birthplace of expectation. Hope maketh not ashamed. Somebody say, don't get your hopes up. Get them up as high as you can get them, because you can't outdo God. Let's just finish this. How? Oh, no. See, when you're hopeless, if you don't watch it, you can be helpless. David, I got to show you this. Put your hand right there in Mark chapter 10. I'm done now. Just come on back here. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 30, please. Here's David. David had fought a battle and went out and fought it and took all his men, left his wives and children at the city. But here come the Amalekites. They came in while David was away fighting a battle, obeying God, and the enemy swept everybody away. Verse 3 of 1 Samuel 30, and David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive. And verse 6. And come on, come on. And verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. Come on, come on. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David did what? I said David did what? He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And sometime, you, when you feel hopeless, you get in that mirror at home and look at yourself and tell yourself, straighten your back up. Everything's gonna be all right. My God shall deliver you. The angels of the Lord encamp around about you. You tell yourself, I'm a good-looking somebody. I'm a dignified Christian. I'm a king and a priest in this earth. Say amen to that. You got to encourage yourself, because even folks in your own house don't know what you're going through. But God knows what you're going through. You pour some water on it. Look what it says here. Verse 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest and Ahimelech, son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them. And without fail, I said, without fail, you're going to recover all. You see, if you don't give up your hope, you're going to recover everything that the devil has stolen from you. Say amen to that. When man says it's over, God takes over. And when God takes over, the battle is over. God is bringing you some fresh hope. I'll finish this by saying in Mark chapter 10 and verse 50, and he casting away his garment, arose. He came to Jesus, and Jesus answered him, what will thou that I should do to you? The blind man said to him, Lord, that I might receive what? It belongs to you. It's your sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, keep going. Thy faith has made you whole. And when? Immediately he received his sight and followed him in the way. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have for this time. Hey, 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 hey. I said, hey, 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 hey. We come here to restore new hope. Glory to God. All right. If you hear God speaking to your heart about being born again, I'd like the privilege of praying with you. If you don't have an emergency, I'd like you to remain with us until the service is ended. If you have an emergency, I understand. I'm calling now for people that you know in your life you're not right with God. And I'm calling you now to let me pray with you. The prayer that will take you out of your place of heavy burden and bring you into a place of love and forgiveness and honor.